Welcome back to the 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. My name is Wayne Kimmel, managing partner of 76 Capital, the sports tech venture capital company. And on this show, I get the opportunity to interview top sports entrepreneurs, executives, and athletes who are truly shaping and many times changing the overall sports industry. And let me tell you something. This is going to be a good one today. Today, my guest is Meg Kane. She is the host city executive of Philadelphia Soccer 2026. And I'm super excited to talk to Meg about her role in helping shape everything that's happened within Philadelphia with this, how they became a host city for FIFA World Cup 2026, and what she and her team are doing to get ready for the World Cup in 2026, which is coming up really soon, and discussing all the business and partnership opportunities surrounding this global, major sporting event. So Meg, welcome to our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show.
Thanks so much for having me, Wayne. I'm delighted to be here.
This is so exciting because this is so exciting, you know, for Philadelphia. This is so exciting for the world. This is so exciting for the country, for everybody, that the World Cup is coming to the United States in 2026. And let's just get right to it. How did you get involved in this whole thing?
It's a great question. I affectionately tell people that I am the least athletic human being on the planet. So my role in helping to bring the world's largest sporting event with probably the world's best athletes to North America is not something that I had on my professional bingo card, but I'm delighted to have had the chance to do it. It's interesting to think back because you really have to look back at this bid. And I think it's important to recognize these types of events are years, sometimes even decades in the making. And our role in bidding for this, if from the city of Philadelphia's perspective, began in 2017. It began 2 days after the NFL draft was here. That's to kind of give people a time and a place that the first conversations about this bid started right after the draft, which was an amazing event on the Parkway for Philadelphia. And really, we shone bright and did an incredible job for the NFL. And the bid comes out of the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau and their PHL Sports, which is led by Larry Needle and Bria Webster Stanko, and then of course Greg Karen, Maria Grasso, and the entire team over at the Bureau. So it started there. I was not involved at that time. I was in a previous role. I had just really come off of the Pope Francis's visit to Philadelphia. So I had just come off my own major event and was taking a little bit of a breather off the major event circuit when the Bureau started this bid. But when I was brought in 2019, it was at the point where FIFA had informed the 17 American host cities that were bidding for the 10 slots initially that 2020 was going to be the bid year. That was where everything was going to accelerate. The selection of the cities was going to be complete by the end of that year. So I came in very late 2019 as a consultant to the Bureau with another independent consultant, Allison Grove. And the two of us had worked on so we had a good history in how the city has organized itself around these major efforts. And so we were brought in to help support the Bureau and the city of Philadelphia in delivering this final bid. Of course, it was going into 2020. And as we all know, the world completely stopped in March. And in fact, I tell people that our first meeting with FIFA was scheduled for March 18th of 2020. I was supposed to be in Dallas, Texas. So I was in the process of cleaning out some files and found my flight cancellation from American Airlines about that trip not going to Dallas because we were in 2 weeks to stop the spread. And of course, 2 weeks became really the incredible global pandemic that we all experienced together. But it put a pause on this work. And not only did it put a pause on this work, but in many respects, it changed the entire way that FIFA had to go through this bidding process and changed so much of how we as a city had to think about marketing ourselves because ultimately this is a bid that not only became elongated, right? And extended itself almost another full 2 years, but everything was done virtually. And in Philadelphia, we know that when we are involved in these big events and when we are putting the city forth, that it's our energy, that it's being here, it's meeting the people and being in the city and getting to know it that oftentimes helps us to elevate and helps us to stand out between Washington, D.C. and New York and Boston, who we are.
So how did you do that? I mean, it's incredible. I mean, it was an incredible process. Everything had, from the way that you knew how to get these types of events to Philadelphia. I mean, as you said, bringing the Pope to Philadelphia, big deal, right? I mean, this is another huge deal, but you couldn't run the same playbook. What did you do?
Well, it's really important to understand that the business community and the business leadership in Philadelphia played such a crucial role in stewarding this bid in a way that it has stepped up time and again for conventions, for papal visit. The business community is, I think, such a gem in terms of this type of work. And sometimes we don't give, we don't tell that story. And this is one of those times where we can't tell the story without the business community, because we don't win the bid without the business community. And so Philadelphia Soccer 2026 was, you know, certainly benefited from our first chair was David L. Cohen. And if you've lived in Philadelphia for the last 30 years, there isn't anything major that Philadelphia has done on the national or global scale that David hasn't been part of. And so we were really lucky that in this first time, in this first period, that David was in that chair role before he became ambassador to Canada. And the reason I say that is because the one thing that David, you know, is known for is his attention to detail. He is meticulous in the best way and is really thoughtful around how to read a document and to be able to understand exactly what is being asked of us. And so he is a lawyer at heart. And so, you know, starting with the contract is where we started. And what really came to fruition for us and what became very clear was that Philadelphia was so well positioned to meet the needs of what FIFA was looking for in a host city as outlined in their contracts and what they were looking for, that Philadelphia met what they needed for the stadium, what they were looking for in cities, what they were looking for in terms of how cities are laid out and public transportation. And the things that we as citizens sometimes take for granted really were these opportunities to elevate so many of the good things about Philadelphia, because they aligned exactly with what FIFA looks for in a host city. So having David and the rigor of going through that process and really digging into that was important, because it helped us to restructure our story a little bit, right? And instead of us thinking about ourselves as, okay, we've got to just, you know, sheer force of will, which is sometimes our go-to, and it's always important. And trust me, sheer force of will was very much part of this. We also really looked at, what are the ways that we can separate ourselves from the competition? When you look at Philadelphia next to Washington, D.C., when you look at Philadelphia next to Boston, when you look at Philadelphia next to New York, New Jersey, when you look at Philadelphia next to Baltimore, this is one of the few bids where all five of the Northeastern cities were in it. So we also knew going in, all five wouldn't get that nod. So right. We had to really think about ourselves in the competitive set and then look at how we would elevate. So that was really, really important. The other part,
Quick on that.
Yeah.
What were some of the things that you think really caught the eye of the folks at FIFA about Philadelphia?
It's five things, right? Okay. We didn't do a presentation to a member of the business community, to a partner at FIFA, to the city, to any, without going through these five things. One, Philadelphia over the last 20 years has built an outstanding pedigree in hosting major international events. From 2000 to 2020, we hosted the Pope, we hosted two political conventions, we hosted the NFL draft, we've had the Dalai Lama, and we've had any number of other smaller events But when you think about those five,
including the Eagles parade, right?
Including the Eagles parade, right? And we did talk about the Eagles parade because that demonstrates the wherewithal of the city to be able to deliver something that is safe and that is joyful and that is a party and do it in 4 days, right? And to be able to deliver something that was spectacular and terrific in a short amount of time. So absolutely, right? So when you think about those major events, Philadelphia's built this pedigree. The second piece that we talked about is that we have this secretly amazing soccer infrastructure. And that starts with Lincoln Financial Field, right? So for this, for 2026, FIFA is using in the United States, all NFL venues. So when you look at all of the NFL venues across the country, Lincoln Financial Field stands out for a number of reasons. It's natural grass. It has an amazing groundskeeping team that's led by their vice president, Tony Leonard. Outstanding operations with Chris Sharkowski and his team. And of course, you've got the leadership of not only Mr. Lurie, but Don Smolenski and Frank Gimeni, right? So the Eagles have built and have a stadium that meets all these important requirements for international soccer, but is also one of the most sustainable venues in the world. From an environmental perspective, it's one of the most fan friendly, right? It has a great footprint. It has great hospitality and VIP. So everything that you would want in a stadium, Lincoln Financial Field has. Couple that with, we have Subaru Park and the Philadelphia Union, which is a spectacular stadium in and of itself, right? Which offers an amazing opportunity for teams from a training perspective. And then we also have opportunities for other training facilities, which includes NovaCare Complex. It includes, potentially looking at colleges and universities. University of Pennsylvania and Rhodes Field is another fantastic venue where international teams have trained. So there was a comfort level in this soccer infrastructure that we don't necessarily as citizens and residents think about it all the time, but it's there. And internationally, people know it's there. We just had to point it out and say, this is what we have. The other pieces, we have an absolutely terrific hospitality and public transportation infrastructure. SEPTA was probably one of our best assets in this bid. There are very few cities, think about it. Think of even the East Coast cities. There are very few cities where you can get on a subway line in the center of the city and be at a stadium in 11 minutes. That's what the Express is. It's 11 minutes from City Hall to NRG Station. So that is very appealing. The airport is 10 minutes a drive from Lincoln Financial Field. Hotels are less than 20 minutes. Any way around, coming from South Jersey, crossing the bridges, coming from downtown, coming up 95, down 95. So we have this infrastructure that with the stadium in the middle, which is the epicenter of this World Cup of this World Cup, where all the important moments are going to happen in that stadium. And we have this infrastructure that allows us to move people in and out. And it's going to be so important to the fan experience. And we do that every Sunday. We do it for 82 baseball games. We've run a World Series game and an NFL game on the same day. We've had basketball and NHL. So we know how to move that and work that sports complex in a really important way. The last two things that were critically important, one is that Philadelphia is a compact city, right? So the compactness of Philadelphia, its walkability, the way that people who stay in hotels can get to restaurants, cultural attractions, to that in the moments, if you think of a match, you have the pre-match, you've got the match, and then you've got the post-match. Well, if you're in Philadelphia and you're thinking about that, and you are you're coming here as a visitor, we've taken up 6 hours of your day. What will you do with the other 18? Well, Philadelphia is compact enough that we can really create experiences that will help people to understand how incredible the city is and give and really amplify that fan experience. And last but not least, and you know this better than anyone, best sports city in the world. And we really leaned into it, right? We stopped. When somebody said the word snowball, we were like, stop. No, let's talk about the fact that Philadelphia is bound together as a city. And yes, we rise and we fall with our sports teams in a way that is different than any other city in the United States, but maybe any other city in the world. That when we have, you know, when we have teams that we are supporting, when we have teams that we feel critical of, they hear us, right? And, you know, one of the questions that we fundamentally asked ourselves when COVID hit and there were no games to be had is, from a Philadelphia perspective, who are we if you can't hear us yell and cheer and roar? What who are we without the roar of the crowd? And what we came to is that this bid was our roar in a quiet time. And that's how we repositioned it. And that's what we built the entire case study, the case for the bid around.
That's amazing. I mean, I have chills. I'm fired up. I'm not sure what to think right now. I mean,
go Birds, go Union, go Phils, whatever your team is, go Flyers, Sixers. We're all in. It's all part of it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you think about what you were just referring to is this, the city and just this summer. And what a great example of what the Philly fans did with Trey Turner.
Amazing.
When he's in this slump, there's a standing ovation. And what has happened to him as a player?
Sure.
His game has gone to a whole nother level.
Well, I think it's, you know, that's such a great example, right? Because there's been so much written now about, like, has Philadelphia lost its edge? And it's like, actually, we didn't. It's not the edge that's lost. It's just seeing the other side, right? You're seeing that when we talk about passion, you know, yes, we can be loud. And yes, there are going to be critics. But, you know, when Bryce Harper is talking about Chuck from Mount Airy and listening to, you know, Marks and Reese on WIP on the way to the ballpark, that means something. That's a connection that people feel that. You know, I think this week's been an amazing example, too. I've been listening to, you know, I listen to sports radio back and forth, and the amount of people on both radio stations who've expressed condolences to Hugh Douglas on the tragic loss of his son in the car accident, and the way that Philadelphians and the fans feel connected, that Hugh's part of the family, right? These players are part of this fabric of a city, and our teams are part of that fabric. And so for us, knowing what an incredible sports town this is, and then understanding that, and really, this cannot be lost in this conversation. Soccer is the growth sport. It is truly becoming a dominant fifth. We are a 5-for-5 city. We are, we really are what the Union have built as a culture at Subaru and in Chester. If you haven't experienced that, or anyone who's watching this hasn't experienced a match at Subaru Park, go. If you could have been there the night Messi showed up, one of the most exciting moments, of course, was his walking out, right? And I mean, this is a greatest of all time in international soccer, playing in front of a packed house of 21,000 plus, loud as can be, on a Tuesday night in Chester, and the fans, we understand you're great, but giving it right to them, and they stood with the Union. And I think, and that's a culture, and that's indicative of what Philadelphia is. And so that is something that we, you know, when we talk to FIFA about how does it translate, it's that fans are fans, and having had the experience of going to Qatar in 2022 and sitting in the stadiums there and witnessing, France play and Portugal play. You know, what you recognize is fans are fans, and those fans are as passionate and knowledgeable and critical and living and dying on every play in those matches in the same way that fans here are, whether they're watching the Eagles, the Phillies, Sixers, Flyers, or Union. And so what I think is going to be the most is I think that people are the cross-cultural connection that's going to be made between fans. They just get it. They get it. And that's going to be really cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you mentioned the Union and soccer and everything that's happening now in Philadelphia. And we have a mutual partner in Alejandro Bedoya.
He's absolutely.
And what, I mean, you know, and during that Messi game, I mean, it was tough. They didn't win, but
his
Ali
goal
scored.
Was amazing. Right. Like, but Ali scored, and he was the captain, and they rallied. If you watch that second half, they played hard and they had chances. I know if he was sitting here, he would probably say the same, that they had their chances, but he scored and like he, and he rallied that team. And that was, and he's a great partner. And talk about being so lucky, you know, when people ask me like, what are some of the great things that have happened, getting the opportunity to be in this role and getting to know Alejandro Bedoya as an individual and a player has been really a gift. And it's been a gift to everybody at Philadelphia Soccer 2026, because he's not only a great champion for the growth of the game and how important it is, especially for youth, but he's been a great champion of Philadelphia and his belief in the city and what the city can be, coupled with his experience as a U.S. men's national team player, as an MLS star, as a team captain. You know, he brings a leadership from a soccer perspective, but he also really understands Philadelphia. And so when, for us, having an honorary co-chair who is so vocal and passionate about this because his kids go to school here and he knows what it's going to mean for the city, that is something that we couldn't replicate outside of, you know, and we've been blessed because our honorary co-chairs are great. I mean, Alejandro's here and that has made him, certainly given him opportunities to step out and work with us more frequently. But we are incredibly lucky to have Zach and Julie Ertz, who are still incredibly supportive of our work and throughout the bid, even as they went out to Arizona. Carly Lloyd has been wonderful. Zach Steffen, Heather Mitz. So, I mean, we have a great, I mean, that, and that's the part that I think sometimes people don't recognize, is that this is a hotbed for soccer. This is a true hotbed for the growth of soccer. Look at the European leagues right now. Look at and look at the Union, and look at what they've done with the academy. There are more local players from South Jersey, from Pennsylvania, from Delaware that are playing at incredibly high levels, right? Medford Messi, right? I told somebody where I was from in Qatar, and the first words out of their mouth were Medford Messi. It's an incredible thing for Brendan Aaronson. Right. And that's and then you've got Christian Pulisic, who, you know, player of the month for AC Milan. This is an exciting time for U.S. men's nationals soccer, team soccer. And so I think all of this is coming together for a real opportunity in 26 for soccer to capture the passion and imagination of a fan base, and to do it through, I think, uniquely, you know, pride and national pride for us hosting. And civic pride for the players that this region will likely see, you know, suit up in red, white, and blue in 26.
You know, Meg, this is amazing. And I have a bunch of questions.
Okay.
That I want to continue on with, yes, what's going to happen in 2026, sure, and how it's right around the corner. But before we go there, I really want to be able to share with everyone on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show who you are. You know, who's this Philly girl who knows everything about sports and knows everything about, you know, how to run these events? How did you get here?
It's a great question. And I appreciate the question. And I think that I've been, first off, very blessed. I've been blessed with great mentors who gave me great opportunities and who believed. And I think that any of the experiences I've had come from people giving me an opportunity and learning from those opportunities and building on those. I'm originally from the Northeast, so I'm a Oxford Circle girl, made First Holy Communion in St. Martin of Tours. And so I certainly, you know, grow up with a lot of Philadelphia pride. My family's all from here. I'm 100% Irish, and all of my great grandparents are immigrants who lived in Philadelphia. So it's, for me, it's Philadelphia is very much a part of my heart. I've stayed here except for 2 years in my whole life, where I did my graduate work at the University of Maryland, College Park. So I've experienced AC when they were in the ACC. I was there during that period. So I've experienced a little bit of that.
That's why we get along. It's the
there turf, you go. You know, turfing, right? I've rubbed Testudo's nose on plenty of occasions, but I am a LaSalle Explorer, a very proud LaSalle Explorer out of the Big Five. And so for me, you know, I started my career as an intern in the city. I thought I was going into politics. And it's really interesting to see full circle. I was 19 and I worked in 2000 for the managing director at the time, whose name was Joe Martz, and the deputy managing director, who was Ted Dallas. And they were new and they had just started under the new mayor, John Street, and the RNC was coming. And I worked out of that office and got to experience the convention through the planning, but not from the front-facing planning at Wells Fargo Center, but from the behind the scenes. And I kept a giant binder, literally a binder with every event that was being hosted in the 10 days leading up to and through the convention, which listed all the city services that would be needed and when they would be needed. And it was every state's delegation party, and it was every sponsor delegation party, and it was welcome and volunteer. And I was in charge of updating and making sure that did sanitation get the update that the party closed at 1 instead of midnight? And we worked through all of that. And so I carried that binder for 2 months, and you would print it out and replace it, and everything was done by state and by day. And so it was a really fascinating way to learn how the city worked. How does the police department interface with the fire department and the Office of Emergency Management? How does fleet work? How does sanitation, licenses and inspection. So I kind of had this kind of behind the scenes look at how the city would work. And even though I ended up going into public relations, all of the big events that I've worked on have, and any major press conference that I've ever worked on, have always had to tap into that knowledge, that work of knowing, oh, that has to run through this office. We need to get that office involved. And that was such a grounding, because when you look at a large event like this, you have to recognize right away, it's not one person and it's not one organization. You need multiple partners at the table. And that's what I think we've done with this bid, is that this is probably one of our best examples as a city of where so many partners have come together, whether it's the city of Philadelphia, whether it's the Philadelphia Eagles, it's the Convention and Visitors Bureau, it's Visit Philadelphia, it's the Philadelphia Union, and it's the business community and the Chamber of Commerce and all the diverse chambers as well. And they have been equally important in terms of their engagement and willingness and desire to support and help. And so when you think about that, that for me is, I think, such what really makes this such a special event. So for me as the Philly girl, I find myself from the 19-year-old intern going to my sophomore year at LaSalle, kind of learning about all of this, to being kind of in the middle of helping to deliver this major event and understanding that, you know, and for me, understanding that at 42, you know, this is not going to come around again. This is once in a generation. This is once in a lifetime for me. And for many of the people that will touch it. But my hope is that we do such a great job that when, you know, FIFA decides that every third or fourth World Cup needs to be in North America, because the fandom has grown so much, that Philadelphia will always be on the list because we delivered this well.
Amazing. Amazing. And you know, when you think about the World Cup coming here, 2026. I remember you reminded me it's less than 3 years.
Yes, indeed.
You probably know the days and hours, right?
I actually did. I will tell you, it was 1,000. So from the end of the FIFA Women's World Cup, it was 1,024 days. We give or take a few, depending upon when first match lands. That's what we were looking at.
It's around the corner. So when you think about what you're doing now, so you did all this work, you got it here. It's definitely coming to Philadelphia, the region. I mean, all over, as you shared with me, Delaware, South Jersey, out to Harrisburg. I mean, like this is not just Center City or Philadelphia proper.
Not at all.
So how can, you know, what are you doing today? Who are like the partners and businesses that are now getting involved and trying to think of like, how do they interact with you if they want to do something with you, or if they, you know, or don't even know what to do right now, but sure, they want to be involved somehow?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think that one of the things that I start almost every presentation with when I go out to speak to people, and I think it's important for the audience, for your audience as well, is that there are still a lot of things that we don't know about what's going to happen in 26. And so from a planning perspective, the most important piece of news that we will get in the next 3 to 4 months is the match schedule. Because right now, I can't say to anyone, this is how many matches Philadelphia will have. I can't tell you what dates there will be matches. That's really important, right? Because when you have to start planning or you're trying to look at a schedule or look at a calendar, it's really hard to know how to do that without knowing the number of matches and where it's going to land. For the benefit of everyone, I think it's important to note that Philadelphia qualifies to host up to and through quarterfinal matches, which is important. That is based on capacity for stadiums. So for Philadelphia and for all of the host cities, we are all expecting that we will have to host a minimum probably of 6 matches, but we could host upwards of 9 because FIFA has made the decision that this is the largest World Cup tournament that they have ever hosted. There will be 104 matches. There were only 64 in 2022. So it's a significant increase. This is across 3 countries. There are 16 total host cities across those 3 countries, and there's 11 American cities that are hosting. And geographically, they are spread out, right? There are quadrants. And if you looked at a map, you would see there's the Northeast, right? So we're working closely with our partners in Boston and New York, New Jersey, as well as Toronto. There's down south, there's going to be Atlanta and Miami. You'll see them. Texas is hosting in 2 cities, Dallas and Houston. Kansas City is the anchoring the Midwest. And then on the West Coast, you've got Los Angeles, San Francisco Bay Area, which encompasses San Francisco, San Jose, Santa Clara, and then you have Seattle. So it's really geographically broad from a United States perspective. So not yet having that match schedule right now, as we look at planning, what we're really focused on is, what are we going to need? And what are the types of groups and working groups that we're going to need to put together? And what are the key partners that will need to come to the table? And so much of 23 is a transitional year for all the host cities. It's the beginning, right? Because we found out that we won the bid in June of 22. And again, 2.5 years later than we expected. So all of a sudden you are 2.5 years shortened on your planning. Then FIFA has an off-cycle World Cup where they don't play in the summer and they play in winter. And then it's coupled back-to-back with FIFA World Cup 23. I mean, to give you a sense, qualifying tournaments for World Cup in 2026 start today, September 7th. So we're already into qualifying. And so the match schedule, once that drops, is going to really help us to frame this out. It's important too, but Philadelphia probably has a really unique perspective from other host cities in terms of what's happening with our planning efforts, because 26 is World Cup is absolutely the biggest. It's the international event that's coming, but the 250th anniversary of the country is going to be celebrated probably in the same 6-week span of the World Cup. And then we are also hosting the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. So there are going to be 6 weeks in Philadelphia, where that all eyes are going to be on the city of brotherly love. And it's going to be sports driven, but it's also going to be culturally and historically driven. And so we have to make sure our planning intersects and interfaces and connects in with that. We want to be good partners. And so one of the things that we've done a lot of work, especially in this year, is making sure that we're looking at 2026 holistically with the city, because the resources that we will need, safety, security, Office of Emergency Management, fleet, sanitation, all those things we need for the 250th anniversary of the country. That's what that commemoration and celebration might look like. We need it for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. So we know that we are part of a 26 ecosystem. But World Cup, make no mistake, is the biggest sporting event and the biggest event that will hit in that year based upon our expectations of how many people will come, likely north of 500,000 people to Philadelphia just for soccer over a 38 to 40 day period. And 70% of those people will not be ticketed. They will come to follow the team and be in the city, to be part of the excitement. They want to be part of the party. That's it. And so to your point earlier, Wayne, about this isn't just Center City in South Jersey. This is about the Commonwealth too. this is the state of Pennsylvania hosting the World Cup. That's really important. And so we are going to be going out at the in Q3 of this year, fall of 23 and into 20, and York and Erie and that and Pittsburgh, which we've been out to a few times, and Harrisburg, and making sure that we're going out into the Commonwealth to make sure that everyone recognizes that while Philadelphia may be the host city, it is the state that is hosting FIFA and that everyone is welcome to be part of that.
Well, Meg, as we wind down here on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show, I mean, this has been amazing. I mean, the host city executive of Philadelphia Soccer 2026, what an exciting job that you have. What an exciting opportunity. It's probably like just, I wouldn't even call it probably a job. It's probably like your life right now, right? It's so encompassing.
You know, and I'm really blessed, and I think it's really important because it's an amazing job. And I'm so blessed, but I'm really also blessed that we've had an incredible team. I spent some time earlier talking about David L. Cohen, who served as our first chair. And I talked about how David was the chair at a moment when his skill set probably helped us to really hone in on what we needed to do. And then he became ambassador to Canada, right? A well-deserved recognition of all of his great work on behalf of Philadelphia and representing our nation, you know, proudly in Ottawa. And, you know, Philadelphia is one of those rare places where, like, when a David L. Cohen has to step out, like, there's a Dan Hilferty that steps in. And so Dan Hilferty, as our current chair, who has been our chair since November of 2021 and helped really lead the last push on the bid and really helped. I mean, his energy, his passion for Philadelphia, which you're now seeing in his new role as the chairman and CEO of Comcast Spectacor, has been incredible. You know, he's our chair. Michelle Singer, as the vice chair of Philadelphia Soccer 2026, has helped lead at the DNC and has worked on so many issues and helping to frame, you know, Philadelphia and its place in the national conversation in so many important ways. So, you know, we have a great board led by Dan and Michelle. We have a great team that's building. And we are building. And I will say that, you know, that's going to pick up the pace soon enough. But we're really lucky that we've had people who have been committed since really the beginning of this. Allison Grove, who was the consultant that came in with me, you know, remains as our chief commercial rights officer. Emily Malmstrom, who, you know, stepped in and supported our chairs and was such a key, you know, part of our business community outreach and the fundraising remains involved. We've had amazing partners that have stepped in and out, great consultants. And I'm just really lucky to have that team around me. So while I'm privileged to be here to have the conversation and tell you the story, it's a story that's really shared by an incredible group of people. And I'm lucky to have the opportunity to work with them and to help lead this effort with them by my side.
Well, it's an amazing thing that you're doing. It's going to be so much fun for everybody here in Philadelphia and across Pennsylvania, across the three countries that are hosting the World Cup. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show and share all these amazing, you know, stories and things that have happened. And hopefully you'll come back and we'll be able to talk about when the games are and all the other exciting things that are happening and that will happen up as things lead up to the game, because you have so many things that are planned.
Correct. We have so much ahead of ourselves. And I think that's an important thing. And I'd love to come back and provide an update. You know, we're going to have the match schedule. We're going to have fan fest locations. We're going to have, you know, the planning is going to be really important. And there's going to be a lot of build up to it. So there's going to be great updates. And we're really excited about all the things that we can do to make sure that we galvanize everyone to be part of it. This is the one thing to take away, is that this is an event that everyone should want to be part of. This is the moment to stay in Philadelphia, to be excited, to be proud, and to be part of the party. And if you are living in and around Philadelphia, if you're living in the state of Pennsylvania, and there's going to be thousands of people driving through to come here for this event, we are all part of the host committee. Everyone is part of that welcome committee, and we need to put our best foot forward. And I know that we will with our usual passion and gusto. And it's time to let Philadelphia shine on the world stage.
Well, this has been awesome. Meg Kane, host city executive of Philadelphia Soccer 2026. Thank you so much for joining us on our show.
Thanks for having me. And we appreciate any and all support and look forward to keeping everyone updated on all of our planning.